I hope you're amazed tonight. I want to tell you just a few things. I got an email early in the week from somebody, and it really was just tragedy after tragedy in this person's life as they had shared of within days learning that one of their parents had cancer, that it just had spread throughout the entire body, through almost every organ. And in the same couple of days, finding out that they had a child that was diagnosed with a lifelong disease. And within days of that, the person's husband, losing a job after 15 years. And I'm just reading this email. And you know what I think of? Giants. Giants. Probably about 5 years ago, my dad took me to the airport at 4 o'clock in the morning. I was going to a conference in Los Angeles, and so Dad and I were on our way to the airport that morning, very early, about 4 o'clock. And Dad was telling me all the medication that he was on, and I said, "Man, goodness, Dad, write that stuff down because I know I'm gonna have to take care of you." And we just had a laugh about that. And I get to Los Angeles, and when I travel, my wife never knows how to get a hold of me, and I'll call at some point. And I called home that night. She said, "You got to get home immediately." She said, "Your dad had a stroke this morning after he dropped you off at the airport, and they don't know if he's going to make it." And as I was thinking about this sermon tonight, I went back to that moment in my life, sitting in that hotel in Los Angeles, trying to get a hold of Delta and trying to get home as soon as possible. And you know what I think? Giants. Giants. Somebody was telling me the other day that they're going to have to leave a job they've been at for a long time because they can't get along with somebody that works there, and they're making their life miserable day in and day out. You know what I think? Giants. Giants. And I don't want to say that they're everywhere, but I will say they're inevitable. That if you're going to live life on this planet, you are going to face the giants. So obviously tonight I'm going to talk about David and Goliath, but I want to do it in an unconventional way, because I want you to know the deal with David and Goliath it's not that Goliath was so big and David was little and he defeated him. If that's what you think of David and Goliath, you have missed the story, because Goliath could have stomped on David if he would have. But there was something greater than David. It wasn't about a little shepherd boy. And it's not just a great story for us to know, hey, we can rise up over our giants. No, we can't. That's the point. We can't do it. If we could rise up over the giants, there wouldn't be any, because we would have whooped them all. But that's not the story. The story is there's no giant that can crush you when God is on your side. You see, David didn't defeat Goliath. God defeated Goliath. And let me tell you, that's good news, because it's harder for me to relate to some guy that's just really sharp with a slingshot, because he's got a skill and ability that's greater than mine, so he was able to do it. But that's not the story. The story is that David went out, and David didn't have an ounce of confidence in David. Because when Goliath challenged him, he said, "You come at me with sticks. You know, you're like a dog." And what does David say? He says, "I don't come with you with sticks. I come at you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ." Isn't that what he says? He says, "In the name of the Lord our God." You and I would say, "In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ." This story is phenomenal, because there's some tough realities in this story. Here's the first reality. There is giant. There is a giant. There are giants. There are many of them. They're all over the place. The Bible, Jesus didn't say, "I've come to do away with all the giants." That's not why Jesus came. He said, "I've come to seek and to save that which is lost." That was his purpose. However, he's come so that we can have life and have it abundantly. And part of having abundant life is overcoming the giants. So don't miss what this story is really about. Don't miss it. This isn't like Rocky. How many of you liked Rocky? How many of you know what Rocky is? Okay, good. All right, we're all together. I mean, that's not that story where you have Apollo Creed. who nobody's been able to defeat, but you got this guy who's, you know, works at the meat place, right? and he's just this hack boxer, and he gets this small chance that's really no chance at all, and he takes him to the end, right? That's not this story. That is not this story. If Pastor Steve was here tonight, he'd say, it's not Ohio State and Florida. You know, it's not that story. Because I want you to know, it wasn't an upset that David beat Goliath. The upset would have been had Goliath defeated David. That would have been the upset. Because David had God on his side. So don't forget this first reality. There are going to be giants. And if you want a giant-free life, then you need to clue into reality, because there are going to be giants in your life. And I would say, just kind of looking around this crowd, most of us already know that. You don't need a preacher to tell you that on Wednesday night, that there's going to be giants. Some of you are like, whoa, thank you. Didn't know. I mean, you know that. There are going to be giants. But you know what I want to encourage you? Don't make the ambition of your life... Don't make the ambition of your life to be without giants. There are going to be giants. But here's the deal. Here's the message in David. Don't be afraid of the giant. Don't be afraid of the giants. They're going to be there. Don't worry about that. Don't focus on the giant. Focus on God. Listen to this. A champion named Goliath, who was from Gath, came out of the Philistine camp. He was over 9 feet tall. Can you imagine that? Now, I just so happen... to go get on a website the other day that had the tallest recorded people in history. And Robert Ludlow. Anybody heard of Robert Ludlow? Tallest living man on record. 8 feet, 11 inches. Can you imagine? I mean, that'd be like, what, right about here? Hey, if I want your opinion, I'll beat it out of you. That's what I tell my kids. 9 feet tall. Now, this is an incredible description here of Goliath. Listen to what he says. He was 9 feet tall. He had a bronze helmet on his head and wore a coat of scale armor of bronze weighing 5,000 shekels. Doesn't that sound gigantic? And just to let you know what 5,000 shekels is like, I weigh 9,000 shekels. So whatever 172 is. So, okay. And so, yeah. Okay. Hey. Do we have a deacon? Somebody can escort this man out. Weighing 5,000 shekels. On his legs, he wore bronze greaves, and a bronze javelin was slung on his back. His spear shaft was like a weaver's rod, and its iron point weighed 600 shekels. His shield bearer went ahead of him. Why all the detail? Why all the detail? Here's the second reality. Because all the enemy can do is look bad. You know what I'm saying? I mean, imagine what Goliath looked like. He was 9 feet tall, and with all of his armor, he seemed like he was 9 feet wide, right? And he looked intimidating. He was huge. And even the king of the Israelites was Saul, whose overwhelming physical feature was that he was tall, and he wasn't about to go out there and fight the giant. This guy looked bad. And I want you to know, the second reality is this, that the giant's always going to look much worse than the giant really is. Because that it's an intimidation factor. It's some way to take our eyes off of the cross and the resurrection. If we learn anything here, we learn that David's strength wasn't in his slingshot, his ability to cast the stone. That was not David's greatest strength. David's greatest strength was his ability to stay focused on the God of the Israelites. And 9 feet of stud couldn't take it away. Could it? But David stayed focused. We're going to have giants in our lives. And what we are going to have to cling to is the ability for each of us to stay focused on the cross and the resurrection. Think about how many churches there are. I mean, just in this town alone, there's like over 200 churches. Can you imagine? 200 churches. And I've been in a lot of churches. I've done revival at a lot of churches. And a lot of times when you go do revival, you sure appreciate being at Hillview and being able to come back home and to preach. And it's nice every once in a while for somebody to say amen. It's nice every once in a while for people to get excited about the truth of God's Word. And sometimes when you're out there, you can't wait to get back and come and preach. But I want you to know, what happened in these churches? What has happened in so many believers' lives? Their eyes have been taken off of the cross and the resurrection. And as soon as your eyes are not focused on the cross, you're going to be able to focus on the giants. Now, please hear me. Because I'm preaching this, and even as I am preaching this, some of you are facing maybe some of the toughest and biggest giants in your life. Even as we sit here tonight. And I want to encourage you. Because I am not saying that the giants aren't destructive. And I am not saying that the giants can't wreak havoc on your life. I'm saying this. The Bible says if God is for us, who can be against us? And what that means is, and hear this, the final victory in your life is not going to be taken from the enemy. Keep your eyes focused on the cross and the resurrection. Keep your eyes focused on Jesus. This great description is given of Goliath because we already know. I mean, most of you already know what's about to happen. I haven't read it yet, but most of you already know that this little guy is going to take out a stone and put it in a slingshot and hit him right square between the eyes, and the giant's going to drop dead. I mean, most of you already know that. So we know it gives this great description of what he looked like. Notice it doesn't give a great description of his ability to battle. It doesn't. It just says he looked phenomenal. He looked like he could take out the whole army by himself. He looked like that. But he couldn't. He couldn't. And David didn't focus on what the giant looked like. David stayed focused on God. Now I want you to hear this. Goliath comes out to battle. And the Bible says this. This is very interesting. 1 Samuel 17, verse 16. For 40 days, the Philistine came forward every morning and evening and took his stand. And it was on this, the 40th day, that Jesse sends David to find his brothers in the battle and to take them some bread. On the 40th day, and I want you to know, over and over in Scripture, you find things happening in time chunks of 40. The Israelites are wandering around for how long? Jesus is in the wilderness. How long? 40. And this just happens over and over. You know why? Because God's timing is perfect. I'm sure some of the Israelites are sitting there saying, man, this is like 30 days of this guy just screaming and yelling at us. So when's this going to come to an end? And the 31st day, God, when are you coming? God, are you going to show up? God, you've got to take control of the battle. And the 40th day comes. And Goliath does what he did every day. He came out and he cursed the God of the Israelites. He cursed your God. He cursed my God. He cursed God. And David happened to be there on the 40th day. Now, I don't believe it was happenstance. I believe it was pointed and it was purposed. Because the Israelites begin to get to a place of desperation. We're finally saying, God, where are you? Are you ever going to show up? You know what I think the third reality is of this story? Hang in there. Hang in there. Because you don't know how far away it is from God totally delivering you from the situation in whatever way that He does that. Now I want you to hear this. I think this is where most of us begin to lose focus. When we begin to wonder if God is ever going to show up. Is God ever going to come in and save the day? Is God on the way? Does God know what's happening? But the 40th day is coming. Did you hear that? I don't think you heard that. The 40th day is coming. And God knows what's going on. And God knows what He's going to do. And the reality that we learned here is hang in there. God is on the way, and He's not late. He's not busy. He's not hung up with something else. He knows exactly when He's coming because there's something that you've got to learn in the 39th day. There's something that you've got to experience in the 39th day to prepare you for when God comes in. And I think one of the reasons is because when God comes in, God may not do exactly what you want Him to do. But maybe by that 39th day, you and I are just saying, okay, God, forget all the resolution I want. God, just show up. God, we just want you here, God. Whatever you're going to do, God, we want you here. And I find over and over in these 40 period time segments that a desperation is birthed. And I think it begs a question tonight for me and for you. How desperate are you for God just to show up? I mean desperate. And we don't use that word a lot, desperate. I mean, when you think about it, I think the only time I ever heard the word desperate is when it referred to my dating life, you know, when I was a teenager. Man, he's desperate, you know. How many of you really know that spiritual desperation? God, where are you? God, I need you. God, if you don't show up, I don't know what I'm going to do. And that's what's happened here on the battle line. And on the 40th day, Jesse sends David to the battlefield. Jesse's plan was not for his son to do battle. Jesse's plan was for David to feed his sons. And little did he know how David would feed his sons that day on the battlefield. Listen, let me encourage you. Because it's not how big the giant is. It's not how ferocious the giant is. It's not the record of the giant, whether the giant's ever been defeated. That is not the issue. The issue is who has sent you. Who has sent you to the battle? And he who sent you to the battle will fight the battle for you. Do you really believe that? Now, I feel like that this is tough tonight. Because I go back to those moments in my life when I feel like I faced the biggest giants in my life. And I was thinking, what could have been said in a sermon on a Wednesday night that would have made me say, oh, now I get it. And I got to be honest, I'm not real sure. Because I think until the 39th day, I wasn't ready for what anybody else had to say. I wasn't ready for anybody else's wisdom. I wasn't even ready for God's alternative plans. I just knew what I wanted God to do. And until about that 39th day, and I'm use that figuratively, when that desperation broke through, when I finally let go of my plan, when I finally let go of what I wanted, when I finally let go of that fear just to say, God, I need you to show up in this moment. And that's what happens here. Note that. Note that. That 40 days went on just like this. But on the 40th day, Jesse sent David. And you can go ahead and mark that as God sending David to the battlefield that day to do battle. God always knew that he would wipe out Goliath. God always knew that he would take care of that giant. God always knew that. It was no surprise to God. He always knew that he would take care of that. But God allowed there to be a time, a period of time, where desperation was birthed within the Israelites. For them to say, God, what do you really want? God, would you just show up? God, would you do what you're going to do? And it happens right here. You know the story. Saul can't believe, one, that somebody would agree to go fight Goliath. He can't believe that. Somebody's actually going to go out and fight this guy. I can't believe it. And you know what? Saul's so desperate, he says, hey, I'll let this guy go. Because you imagine, Saul himself is probably 2 feet taller than David. And he said, hey, I'll let you go. And he tries to put on his armor on David. And it doesn't fit. Now, I want to share with you something tonight that I've heard that I think is a misunderstanding of this text. David says to Saul after he gets all his armor on, he says, I can't fight in this. And the phrase he uses is, I'm not used to this. I've got to fight it the way that I'm used to. And so I've heard preachers say, so don't try to be something else. You've just got to be what you used to be. Well, that is a misunderstanding. You see, there was a prior spiritual state to this. Because if I'm going to be what I used to be, that is not a good thing. And if I'm going to be what I'm used to, that is not a good thing, except that the grace of God has come into my life. And so David is at a spiritual state here where he and God are walking together. He's in right relationship with God. And in this moment, that's what he's used to. Here's what he's used to. He's used to counting on God. He's used to depending on God. And I've heard people say, so just do what you're used to. Well, only if you're on this side of what God wants to do in your life. Only if you're on this side of it. And I was thinking about that today and how that would make sense. And I was trying to think about how that applied into my life when I face these giants. And when I face these tough times in my life, what does this look like? And how do I do that battle? I mean, what am I used to? And so the fourth reality is, I need to be used to walking to God. I need to be used to being in close relationship with God. And I need to be used to trusting Him. And I need to be used to trusting His ways above my ways. You know what the Bible says? My ways are not your ways. My thoughts are not your thoughts. We're going to face the giants in our lives. They're coming. If you're not already there, if you haven't already been there, they are coming. The giants are coming. And the encouragement is, but don't be afraid. God knows they're coming too. And God knows where you're going to be a year from now, 5 years from now, 10 years. God knows that. God knows. If you get a call from the doctor, God knows that. God already knows that. He's not caught off guard by that. Here's what we pray. So God, there's a giant. How will you use this giant for your glory? Because here's what's phenomenal about David and Goliath. I mean, one, it's probably the most well-known David story in the Scripture. And the Bible says something about David that I think is really, really cool. The Bible says that David was a man after God's own heart. I mean, how incredible is that compliment? I mean, how many of you would like to be referred to as a man or a woman after God's own heart? What a compliment. But listen, David wasn't the only one who was used for the glory of God. Are you with me? This will be interactive tonight. I'll ask various questions like that, and you just respond back, and I'll know you're awake. Thank you. Appreciate that. How many of you know that David wasn't the only one used for the glory of God? You're almost there. You're on a sugar high. You went trick-or-treating before you came, didn't you? I'm going to close with this. This is my favorite part of the story. It doesn't shock us that David was used for the glory of God. That doesn't shock us. We expect that. You expect me to say that. You expect me to preach that. You expect that. And I'm going to say it because it's true. David was used for the glory of God. But don't miss this. My favorite part of the story. Goliath was used for the glory of God. Goliath was. God used the giant for His glory. Now let me tell you something. Somebody ought to get up and dance. Somebody ought to get excited about that. Because that means whatever call you got, whatever crisis you're going through, whatever valley you're dealing with, God already knows it and God's already intending to use it for His glory. That is the incredible news of David and Goliath. The giant didn't catch God off guard. The giant didn't catch God by surprise. From day one, God desired to use that giant for His glory. And so I finally made it from L.A. back to Cincinnati, Ohio. It took 2 days for Delta to get me home. And by the time I did make it, they told me Dad was going to be okay, but they didn't know what kind of recovery that he would make. And when I got to the hospital, it took me forever to get to see my dad because about 150 people from their church were already there. And they were all waiting to see, and I had to get huffy with some church people. It's my dad. I'm not waiting in line. I'm going to see my dad. And there were people that came that my dad had been witnessing to for years and years and years. Guys that he had worked with at General Motors for years and years and years who never wanted to hear the gospel from him. Every one of them came to the hospital. And every one of them, my dad, laying there in a really muffled voice, got to share what incredible thing God had done in my dad's life. Can you imagine if you weren't a Christian? And you didn't have really much of a clue about God. And there's a guy who just had a stroke that's 50 years old saying, no, I just thank God for what He's done in my life. I mean, what do you do with that? What do you do with that? I mean, if you're not a believer and somebody, things are going great for somebody, and they say, God's been good to me, what do you say? Well, okay, yeah, whatever. But it's when you're laying in that hospital bed and somebody's looking at you who doesn't know Jesus, and even in that bed, you're able to be thankful to God for the giant that you're facing. That blows some unbelievers away. So you know what? God used my dad for His glory in that moment, but you know what my dad would tell you if he was here? God used that stroke for His glory. And that giant wasn't to be feared. That giant was to be embraced. And that giant was going to bring as much or more glory to God than my dad. You know what my dad said? We're all in the hospital. After, you know, he was in there for several weeks, and one day we're there, and he likes to listen to Christian music, and the song, Keith, came on from Wayne Watson. What is it? I can't remember what it is. No, that's good, though. I can't believe I can't think of it. Man, this is going to be a great ending to the message. It really was. For such a time as this. For such a time as this. That this moment that my dad's going through, it hasn't caught God off guard, but God is going to use it. And there were all those people, and as we sat there and that song played over and over and over, for such a time as this, because it had been, what, 40 days? What I mean by that? God's timing was perfect. His timing was perfect. And God will use your giant for His glory. So don't spend your life trying to avoid the giant. Don't do that. Just live your life faithfully. Live your life faithfully, and you're going to run into a giant one day. And remember this, God's going to use that giant for His glory. God will use that giant for His glory. I want to encourage you. David and Goliath is not about a little guy whipping a big guy. David and Goliath is about a huge, gigantic God squashing a little giant. Using that giant for His glory, for His renown. That's what this is about. And the thing I've wanted to tell you, and I was just trying to wait till the very end, the thing I just got so excited about as I was reading this passage this week, is that God wants to use you, and you know that. But maybe what you didn't know tonight, certainly what I didn't know 5 or 6 years ago when my dad went through what he did, is that God wants to use the giant too. And God will use the giant for His glory. And my dad commented on how men that he had shared the gospel with for 15 years were never more open to hearing about God than his dad went through that very difficult time in his life. You know what my dad said? You know what my dad said? He said, I'd go through it again if others would listen. Embrace the giants in your life. Embrace them. God will use them. He is sovereign. He knows what's going on. And through every season of your life, every giant you face, God will use you for His glory. And God will use the giant for His glory. You know what the altar is tonight? Tonight, some of you are facing maybe some of the biggest giants you've ever faced. I want to invite you to come to the altar tonight and pray this very weird prayer. God, the giant's here. We're battling. I feel like I'm getting whipped. But I want to pray something tonight, God, that I hadn't prayed yet. And so I'm going to pray it. God, use this giant for Your glory. God, use this giant. Use this moment in my life. Use it for Your glory. Use it, God. I want to invite you to come to the altar. I want to invite you to come. Jesus is the only hope we have. Most of you know that. You understand that. That apart from Jesus, we have no hope. We have no hope of eternal life. We have no hope against the giants in our lives. And if you're here tonight and you don't have a relationship with Jesus, I want to invite you tonight to invite Christ to come in your life. Because listen to me, everybody look up here. Because the giants are coming. And the giants are not prejudiced. They don't care if you're a believer, you're not a believer. They don't care where you're at in life. They don't care what you look like. They don't care where you work. They don't care. The giants are coming. And only Jesus can get you through that encounter with that giant. And God, listen to this, and God will use that very encounter with the giant to bring Him glory and honor. And what have I told you now for almost 4 years on Wednesday nights? You were created for the glory of God. And every moment of your life, God desires to use it for His glory. So you know what? Give Him the giant. Give Him the giant for His glory. Father, we love You. I thank You for 40 days. For some of us, 40 days has been 15 years. For some of us, 40 days have been a week. For some of us, 40 days hasn't come yet. But I thank You that Your timing is perfect. I thank You for that. And God, I thank You. And this is really hard, God, but I thank You for the giants. I thank You for the giants. And I pray, Father, that every giant would bring You glory. And in those moments, the people will listen like they've never listened before because of the giants. So God, may our lives bring You glory. May the giants in our lives bring You glory. We love You, Lord. It's in Your name we pray. Let's stand together. The altar is open. Won't you come?